Good morning.
I suppose it's somewhat dependent on how you read the line. If you say I am a king, for this I was born and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. You can sort of link it up that way. Make it sound like Jesus is saying he came into the world as a king. But then you're left with that hanging phrase at the end of the sentence. It makes more sense to read it, and it's punctuated in most translations, including this one, as, "You say I am a king." Period. "For this I was born. For this I came into the world," colon, "to testify to the truth." And if we read it that way, which seems like the more logical way, in Greek as well as in English, then Jesus is all but denying Pilate's assertion. "You say that I'm a king, but let me tell you what I really am." Yet he doesn't completely deny kingship. "My kingdom does not belong to this world" does lead sort of logically to the conclusion, "So then you are a king." What's he doing? I think the modern term for it is he's reinventing kingship. He's denying kingship as people understand it, and as Pilate is properly afraid of it, but asserting it in a different way and with a different definition. What's he doing? How is he doing it? If he is a king, what kind of king is he? Well, first reading is awfully helpful here. That's the 7th chapter of Daniel. And this is apocalyptic visions. You have a hard time figuring out exactly what's going on. But clearly in this vision, that someone like a son of man comes and is vested by the Ancient One with kingship, power, glory. Scholars debate to this day whether Daniel was using that as a symbolic figure for Israel itself or predicting some leader who would lead Israel out of its current captivity, either in the time when Daniel was supposed to have been or when the writer was actually writing. But either way, there's that image. The Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven, invested in glory. And Jesus buys into that image. He quotes it in the trial just before this one, the trial before the chief priests, where he says, "You say so. Are you the Messiah? You say so. But you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven," quoting Daniel, and obviously referring to himself. And of course, understanding that, they say, "This man has blasphemed." So Jesus picks up that title and so talks of himself as king, as Son of Man, coming on the clouds of heaven, vested with majesty and glory by the Most High, the Ancient One. But Son of Man. Where have I heard that term before? What's it saying? We've spent all year reading Mark. And when Jesus uses the phrase Son of Man in Mark, what's the context most of the time? The most important ones, the most dramatic ones, are the beginning of those three acts. That play that we were reading during the summer. Each time when Jesus predicts the passion, he doesn't say I or the Messiah or the Christ. He says the Son of Man will be handed over to the Gentiles and will be put to death and will be raised. The Son of Man is the one who will suffer. This links those two together. Daniel's use of the Son of Man and Jesus' prediction of his passion. And then at the end of that, when you spent the whole central section defining himself and his ministry and trying to get it across to the disciples, he sums it up in the same words. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for the many. That's who the Son of Man is. The one who comes to serve, the one who gives his life. And that Son of Man is the one who will come as the Messianic King. That's a pretty radical reinvention of the notion of kingship. One the church has never quite caught on to. When they start defining in canon law the three powers of bishop, they define it in terms of those three images, priest, prophet, and king. And for priests, they talk about the potestas or the munus sanctificandi, the office of sanctifying. And for prophet, munus docendi, the office of teaching. And for king, modus regendi, the office of ruling. But in the way Jesus defines kingship, kingship is defined as service and as giving your life. And when he does that, he not only radically redefines kingship, which after all might be somewhat irrelevant for us, we're not particularly concerned about kings, since we don't currently have one. He redefines God, and he redefines us. Because he reveals who God is in who he is. If he is the Son of Man who comes to the throne by serving and gives his life as a ransom for the many, then that's who God is. God is the one who serves. God is the one who gives God's life. God is the one who pours God's self out on us in Jesus. And that in turn sets standards for who we are, who we are called to be. Be like this king. Be like the God that this king reveals. Grow up to be like the old man. Basic Christian idea. Learn who Jesus Abba is. Grow up to be like the old man. One who comes to serve and not to be served. One who gives his life as a ransom for the many. That sets the standard. We then have to apply the standard. How does it work for us in our time, our place, our circumstances? Different for every one of us and different from day to day and month to month. But the guiding spirit of it is the same. This is not a triumphant army with banners spread, marching in victory procession. When that comes, that will come at the end. That will come when the king returns on the clouds of heaven. Right now, it's to serve, not to be served. To give our lives, not to look for glory. That's who the king is. That's who the king's God is. That's who we are called to become. And that is, I think, a fitting conclusion to this liturgical year. When next we meet, we will be beginning the new year and look at all the same ideas and all the same mystery from a different theological point of view, a different spiritual emphasis. It's wonderful that we have so many different approaches. Four Gospels was a great idea. You're not limited to one set of one palette or one kind of brushwork. But as we finish up this year, let's take this little clue from John and use it to help reintegrate everything we learned all year from Mark about who Jesus is and about who God is and about who Jesus and God call us to be. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.